Welcome to another episode of The Master's Playground. My name is Chrissy Stereo. It's Thursday, 6 p.m. The Hour of Magic. With a K. All right, before we get started, let me take a moment to tune in. I invite you to do the same. Placing our hands in prayer position in front of our heart chakra. Take a breath in. Exhale, and on the next breath, we'll begin. Om. Inside your being, psyche, and experience. It's kind of like there's multiple facets to it, kind of like a pie, you know? Got this part about you, this part about you. That part about you. We have different slices that represent different times in our life, different periods, different lifetimes, existence. Sometimes there are portions of that whole that we have difficulty connecting with and are not fully integrated into our being. And when we look at it from a holistic wellness perspective, on this tip, it's all about keeping everything harmonized and balanced. And everything accounted for. That includes the good, the bad, and the ugly. So in this episode, we're going to embrace many tools on reconnecting with our inner child. We will look at the varied archetypes that our inner child expresses itself from and with. We're going to discuss what it is to hear our inner child. What is he or she saying? Which oftentimes shows up to the party and takes over in our adulthood. So that inner child plays peekaboo. So it's about understanding how to have a connection with our inner child. How do we begin to address it? Rather than trying to, you know, I mean, it's kind of popular out there. You know, we might want the inner child to, we might want them to grow up. No, just grow up. But what we need to learn is how to develop a loving relationship with our inner child. Parenting our inner child. Because the inner child will act out when challenged. Look back on your life, man. I know little Chrissy has shown up to that boardroom. You know. Or, you know, the playful Chrissy has shown up to the stage. So it's about understanding what the inner child is saying. Because the voices inside of us are still very alive. Enjoy. The DJ exit on that one, man. Yes. You are listening to The Master's Playground. My name is Chrissy Stereo. Yeah, we're looking at the voices inside in this episode. The inner child. So, when we look at the inner child, right, we have to look at what are the different aspects that it could express itself with. And so for this, I recommend, you know, I recommended this book before. I'll recommend it again because it's so importante to have in your arsenal. Caroline Mace, Sacred Contracts. So we're going to get into the various aspects of how our inner child can express itself. Because when we don't listen to our inner child, when we don't take the time to parent our inner child, well, it could express itself in a variety of different ways. So let's look at it. The first aspect, the orphan. Now, the orphan is, you know, glorified in so many different fairy tales, like Cinderella, Snow White, The Little Mermaid, Bambi, right? And the pattern in these stories reflect in the lives of people who feel from birth as if they are not part of their family. And it usually ends up resulting in this particular, you know, those, that child developing independence early in life, right? So the absence of family influences and attitudes and traditions inspires or compels the orphan child to construct an inner reality based on personal judgment and experience. And orphans who end up succeeding at finding a path of their own are celebrated in fairy tales, you know, as having won the battle over some sort of darkness, which symbolically represents the fear of surviving alone in the world. Now, there's a dark side to everything, right? A dark side. So, the shadow aspect of the orphan child. Let's take a look at that, right? We're going to look at it in general and then also the shadow. It manifests when orphans never quite recover from growing up outside of a family. Feelings of abandonment occur, and the scar tissue from family rejection stifle their ability to mature, often causing them to seek surrogate families, right? In order to experience that tribal union. Right. So let's look at another way our inner child could express itself. Now, one can mention, as I go through these, right, try to identify which one is dominant for you. Now, you know, you might find that some of them will cross over for you. And keep in mind, all of them are part of us. It's just that one at any given point is more dominant than the other. Right? So let's see. So the second one, we just covered the orphan child. The next one is the wounded child, right? And this is when abuse and neglect and other traumas happen early in life. And this is actually the one that most people will relate to. Because, you know, I mean, if you go into any therapy office, you know, that nice little couch, people are talking about. Yeah, man. You know, whatever it is, right? Really focusing on their childhood and how they were wounded. It's the major culprit for, you know, of what's being analyzed in relation to adult suffering. So choosing the wounded child, if you're to choose that, it highlights that you credit your painful and abusive experiences as a child with having a substantial influence on your adult life. You know, and the wounded child will also awaken to a deep sense of compassion and finding a path of service aimed at helping other wounded children, right? From a spiritual perspective, a wounded childhood cracks open the learning path of forgiveness. All right, so the shadow aspect is, you know, living in self-pity and a tendency to blame our parents, right, for the conditions in our lives at this point, the wounded child. All right. Then we have the magical child. Now, the magical child is both, you know, very enchanted and enchanting, right? And it sees the potential for sacred beauty in all things. Again, this is the magical child. Kind of innocent, you know, the magical innocent child. Oh my God, everything's so beautiful. Right? They're often gifted with the power of imagination and the belief that everything is possible. Now, the shadow side of the magical child manifests as the absence of possibilities of miracles and the transformation of evil in good. Like somehow they lost the belief in that. So attitudes of pessimism and depression, especially when exploring, you know, the dreams in general, emerge from an injured magical child. The shadow also manifests a belief that energy and action is not required, allowing them to retreat into a world of fantasy. So, as I'm going through these varied archetypes, are you resonating with any of them? Are you finding that one is a little bit more powerful than the other for you? We've got a few more here, and I'll run through it quickly. The next one is the divine child. Now, the divine child is very similar to the magical child, but it has a redemptive mission. That's kind of the difference that's going on there. The divine child is associated with innocence, purity, and redemption, godlike qualities that suggests that the child shares a special union with the divine itself. Now, few people are inclined to actually choose the divine child, because they have difficulty acknowledging that they can live in a continual state of divine innocence. What's interesting about the divine child, though, is that, you know, divinity is also the reference point for your inner spirit, you know, the reference point that you could turn to consciously, making it the process of choosing healing the divine child. Now, the shadow aspect of a divine child manifests in the inability to defend itself against negative forces. And a good way of assessing whether or not the divine child is, you know, the predominant child archetype for you is by assessing your involvement and asking whether you see life through the eyes of the beloved, trusting God, or whether you tend to respond initially with fear of being hurt or even hurting others. First, you know, before they hurt you. Okay. Next up, the nature child. Now, this one is the one that develops a really intimate relationship with nature itself, working and bonding with natural forces, and also has a very particular affinity for animals. Although the nature child is tender, it can also have an inner toughness and ability to survive. The resilience of nature itself. Communication with nature spirits and learning to work in harmony with them is very common for the nature child. Lastly, we're going to look at the eternal child. Remember, keep asking yourself which one is more dominant for you. Now, the eternal child. The positive aspects of this particular archetype manifest as a determination to remain eternally young in the body, mind, and spirit. You're only as old as you think you are, man. Now, people who maintain that age will never stop from enjoying life and are relying on the positive energy of that archetype to supply that healthy attitude, right? But the shadow aspect of the eternal child manifests as an inability to grow up and embrace the responsibility of adulthood. Specifically, let's look at the female. The female shadow. You know? All right, so you're female, and what is the shadow side of the eternal child? It can manifest in women as an extreme dependency on those who take charge, you know, of their physical security. So they become very dependent on people taking care of them. The eternal child is often left floundering and ungrounded between stages of life because they have not laid the foundation of being a functioning adult. Okay, so we just explored the inner child and the different types, right? So in this episode, what we're doing is, quite literally, we're learning to understand how to, A, acknowledge which type is more predominant, and B, move into how do we not allow that shadow aspect or that, you know, that particular aspect to run our adult lives. So with that, yes, another song, shall we? There's so many options, you guys. I'm so torn right now. And I do this, during the day, you know, I'll put a bunch of songs that I'm like, oh my God, I love that song. Okay, that one's going into the playlist. Oh my God, okay, okay. And then I'll just make my mind on the spot. And I'm looking at it going, oh my God, there's so many options. So I think I'm going to go down this road. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Master's Playground. One more time, shall we? Right on. My name is Chrissy Stereo, and tonight we've been looking at various, you know, archetypes. You know, somebody let me know, how do you pronounce that correctly? Because Spanish was my first language. Anywho, the different archetypes of our inner child and how it expresses itself. Now, all of the ones that I read right before the song that I shared, right? We roll with. All of them apply. It's just a matter of which one's more dominant. And it's important to look at the shadow aspect and really healing. So how do we get started with working with our inner child? So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to highlight a few things here. Okay. And I have three recommendations. One, look up the inner child tarot deck. The whole deck offers a journey back into childhood, and it lines up perfectly with Tarot. It's a very fascinating journey. So you're invited to explore that. So that's option one, right? Option two, meditation. Okay. So there's a couple of different ways of doing this, you guys, right? So an effective way to heal the inner child is with meditation. By going within and meeting your inner child and asking your inner child to come forward as you become a loving parent to yourself. And when you actually make that choice, you're going to notice all the crusty stuff come up. old issues in your childhood will surface. And, you know, as they do, what's important about this particular process, right, is that you allow respect the validity of any of the stuff that comes up. And as you become aware of the issues, you might actually find that people in your present reality, the now, may have, you know, been the cause of some of that hurt. But the most important thing about this is that it's important to forgive them. All right. And the last tool that I want to highlight, you're invited to mark this time. Note the time. We've got roughly about 20 minutes left in the show because we're going to go into a little bit of a guided meditation, but nothing like too intense where we're going to camp out. I'm simply going to share this. And this is the meditation to heal the inner child according to Kundalini Yoga, right? So, looking at the camera, and I'm going to do my best to verbally communicate it as well for those of you that are not watching on the camera right now. Or in the podcast, right? Okay. Raising our arms up. Okay. We don't, you know, literally parallel to our shoulders. Okay. You're going to maintain that. You're not going to slouch. You're not going to like, don't bunch your shoulders. Bring your fingertips, index, middle, ring finger, and pinky, bend them down to touch the top pads of your hands. The thumbs are facing each other, right? So really palms facing down. I want you to raise them up, right? Remember, our arms are up. Raise them up and press your thumbs together to where they become just a little bit of, you know, you get a little bit of white from the pressure. Then from there, you're going to position it about 5 inches in front of your brow point. Right. So I'm going to go ahead and play some background music, you know, during this. See if that works. Right. So, the meditation. Thumbs together. Turn that down. That's a little loud. Rogue meditation, man. Okay, so long story short, you'll end up doing this, eyes closed, sitting in, you know, a meditation pose or sitting in a chair, feet flat on the ground, making sure that our elbows are parallel to our shoulders, inhaling and exhaling with long, deep breathing, eyes closed and still focusing on the thumbs touching. Now, it is recommended to do this for about 3 minutes minimum, but you can also go up to 11 minutes if you'd like. So we're going to camp out just a little bit because I'm feeling it.
Sadanama, Sadanama, Sadanama.
us back. Okay, so I know it was a little rogue and a little fast, right? But the instructions that were just provided, the meditation that was just shared, is a Kundalini yoga practice of healing the inner child. Now, ideally, you'll want to do it, you know, in your meditational space. Allowing yourself, gifting yourself the gift of yourself. Right. So I think I'm going to go ahead and fade into a different song. And then we'll come, when we come back, we'll pull the tarot cards for the week. I'm a little like, whoa, I just did a lot. Wait, hold on. You know, I'm not used to doing meditation on the radio show. So I'm like, whoa, wait, you know, but at, you know, I do want to say this. Gift yourself at least 3 minutes dedicated. And if you don't have mantra music to play in the background, right? Inhale Sat, exhale Nam. And just take the ride, man. Take the ride. So with that, enjoy.
Thank you.
I still love that song. Oh my God, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat as needed. Welcome back to the Master's Playground. My name is Chrissy Stereo, and in tonight's episode, man, we took a look at our inner child, right? And the whole reason that we did is because when we're unconscious and we don't even pay attention to our inner child, and if it's all like stunted and wounded, which, by the way, is being human, then it shows up in a variety of creative ways in your adult world. So it's really about parenting the little child, listening to the inner child. What is it saying? What is it tripping on, right? And then you as an adult embracing your own self and just going, man, we got this. Don't worry. It's going to get fun, man. Let's do this together, right? And right before this amazing song, we ended up highlighting a variety of tools that you could utilize. Mind you, a little haphazard because we're in a radio station, but still, man, you know. If you're interested in more information about the meditation that I highlighted, contact me, triplegoddesspro.me. I'll be happy to email you the details if you want a written copy. Okay, so dig it. What are the energies? Spirit, what are the energies that we can anticipate for the coming week? Yes. The Temperance card. We are going to find ourselves doing what's best for everyone. We are going to find ourselves swimming in the reality that everyone else is doing the same thing too. Doing the best for everyone. Ourselves included. So that's cool, right? So we're all going to be very kumbaya is what I'm feeling. So it's all about balance, moderation, exchange, and reflection. It also suggests an absolute balance that occasionally is attained in life, usually unexpected and without effort, right? So we're not going to be like, hey man, I'm just trying to do the best for everyone. No, we're just going to naturally roll that way. Now, it also highlights that it's an absolute union with our soul's desire. Not sure what that was. Maybe I think it was like some ancient Japanese life, you know, where I was like a samurai or something that just came out. So it's about arriving at the pinnacle of our evolution and seeing the presence of God, not only in ourselves, but in everyone around us, right? Yeah, yeah. And it's the angelic self juggling the illusion of time, one foot in the ocean of divine consciousness and the other foot planted firmly on the soil of material reality. Now, I don't really highlight the negative too much, but something's tapping me, you know, to share this. This is a time of self-imposed restraint. A need to pursue a balanced lifestyle, unattached. So I want to say it was negative, but more a call, right? So what are the tools that we can utilize as we navigate with that energy? The Hermit. So this means it's really up to you. You have the control. You know? Again, the Hermit also has the qualities of making decisions that's, you know, best for everyone involved. So it's, I feel a lot of negotiating energy this coming week. I feel a lot of, you know, mutual blessings happening. But this, you know, how do we navigate? Meditate, reflect, go into, you know, your spiritual side. It's a call for stillness and meditation. So literally, this is spirit talking, okay? It's like, yo, this is the energy. This is how you navigate next week. Go in, go in, go in, go in, go in, go in. Now, the only thing about that is make sure not to become too withdrawn, because, you know, quiet reflection sometimes will have us escaping in that. So don't, you know, it's about being in the world consciously. So then I asked, what is the gift of the coming week, right? It looks pretty amazing, you guys, because we ended up getting the Eight of Discs. And so what's going to happen is, you know, real acceptance of things. We're not going to be trying to force anything. And we're going to be sacrificing ourselves to ourselves, right? Like, oh, you know, it's kind of like letting go, you know, and just doing the work. That's the gift. I mean, look at the dude, man. He's totally at work, right? For those of you looking in the camera. And really, the gift is reinforcing this commitment to a spiritual path. Just remember to have fun in the process, right? Be enthused and creative. That's the gift. My name is Chrissy Stereo. You've been listening to The Master's Playground right on .com. You know, I was actually concerned that I was not going to get all the information in, you know. Again, I do recommend Sacred Contracts by Carolyn Mace. You're also invited to visit triplegoddesspro.me. Reach out if you'd like a tarot reading or any of the other services that are offered. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and fade out to a song, but before I do, I'm going to take a moment to say a prayer. May the longtime sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on.
Danger. Love yourself.
The master's playground.